Hi, welcome to Authentic Conversation with Kim. I hope that the podcast finds you well, as fitting. Thank you so much for allowing Authentic Conversation with Kim to be a part of your day. I appreciate y'all so much, especially when I'm not repeatedly doing cast, and you still listen in and donate and still give me feedback and ask about it. I do thank you and appreciate that. And please know that I'm consistently thinking about the podcast and want how to make it better, and whether I should say this or shouldn't say this, or what should I say or what should I do. But I did want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Happy Hanukkah and, you know, all that good stuff. I was a bit under the weather, and I think a few days ago, I was in close contact with somebody. Not close like that. But I was in the company of somebody who I think, you know, shared their little icky. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And I was telling somebody that I know. Like, I know the moment when I'm not going to be feeling well and I'm going to have the sniffles and stuff like that. So I just really been on, it's not COVID, thank God, but I just really been on medicine and just resting. So I am a little stuffy, but guess what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being a little stuffy because I'm here, and y'all might hear something in my background because I want to do something, and I did not know that this thing was going to come on. Well, it's fine. It's real. It's authentic. It is what it is. So I'm a little stuffy, and so you can kind of hear it, and it's early in the morning, and so, but I just wanted to say, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. Catch up on what I've been doing. You know, I'm always trying to add to my resume, if nothing else. So I was able to get that accomplished before the end of the year. So I was glad about that. And then I did my, I do these cards, these electronic, I guess they're called electronic cards, virtual cards. I'm still trying to figure it out what it is, because I remember, I used to send out Christmas cards and New Year's Eve cards and New Year's Eve cards, hear me, New Year's cards. And I used to do that, and I had inherited that from my mother. So I used to send out cards, and then that changed. I actually got 3 cards, 2 in the mail and 1 somebody gave to me. So that was nice. And so I sent out these e-cards, and I had sent them out. I always wondered, should I send them out on the day of, since it is an e-card, or do I send it out before? So I actually sent it out before Christmas, and I was very, very proud of the card that I created. Very, very proud of it. And it's weird because when I start to the initial process of creating a card, I really don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to turn out and stuff. But I was really, really proud of it. And it's to me, it's like a work of art. And so I sent my cards out. I did that. And it's weird, too, the feedback, right? Not that you, I don't know if you expect feedback or don't expect feedback. And so I get sometimes feedback. And then sometimes, I guess, like if you was to mail a card, somebody wouldn't call and say, oh, thank you for the card, or thank you for sending, you know what I'm saying? So I'm still trying to figure that part out. But nonetheless, I did it, and genuinely, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that good stuff to everybody. In regards to relations, which, you know, is a big deal for me, and how we relate and how we react to situations and individuals, and being whole in our lives is my biggest goal, because I feel like life has a tendency, if we're not careful, to compartmentalize us. And so we're not whole. We're, you know, over here, over there, feeling this, feeling that, up and down. Life is like I say, like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get, but you know it's good. But it's also like this roller coaster thing, and sometimes you just want to be, you know, just not up and down in your emotions, or not up and down in your feelings, or not compartmentalized everywhere. And I ask myself, you know, how do you become this whole individual after life has done all of this stuff to you? You know what I mean? And so I sit and I contemplate that, and then work towards, you know, again, not being moved by certain things or certain situations that, again, want to bother you, right? And so, perfect example, even this week, earlier this week, it was this scenario that just came upon, and I'm like, are y'all kidding me right now? Like, I don't feel like dealing with this. Like, I really don't feel like dealing with this. I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like writing. I don't feel like dealing with this right now. And it was like really nothing that I could do, right? But be really upset. I was just like, oh my goodness, I was so hot. And somebody had to tell me, it was like, Kim, don't take it personal. And I'm like, well, it's kind of hard because I'm like so involved, like it involves me. So for you to tell me not to take it personal, but it didn't just involve me, it involved a lot of other people. And I don't know how the other people felt or reacted or whatever. So I just spoke upon it in regards to what I knew that it was doing, and it was an inconvenience, and I thought it wasn't sensible, you know me, make it make sense. And lo and behold, I felt like what I said just kind of just fell on deaf ears. But the reason why it fell on deaf ears was because the situation had to happen, if that makes sense. And so I aimed to participate, even though I did not want to. And in the participation, I just realized that how, you know, we just need to do better. We really, really need to do better. We need to do better in our communication. We need to do better in our organization. We need to do better. We just need to do better, because in my mind, people are really inconsiderate to people, which is totally, like, not okay. It's not okay that people make investments and they pay and they work hard and they do all this stuff just to have a quality of life, or just for the most part, the bare minimum. And people gloss over that and gloss over the efforts that people make in order to do that. And again, you lack compassion and you lack empathy and understanding. And again, it's always about this bottom line. And so that kind of bothered me, and I got over it for the most part. But I just was like, don't nobody have time for this. But I had to make time, right? Nobody wants to be bothered, but I didn't have any choice. And so at the end of the day, it was just like, okay, Kim, what do you do in order for this to not unravel you, or to keep you pigeonholed to an attitude that, again, is not conducive to your day, is not conducive to your environment, is not conducive to your health and your well-being? And so I got through it. I was aiming to figure it out for the most part, but I want to be more of a person. I'm not going to say even killed, but I do want to be, I want it to make sense at the end of the day. My response, is my response legitimate in what is being presented? And again, whether or not it goes my way or not, you know, because that's a part of control and a part of influence and stuff like that. And how do you feel if indeed you can't change it, right? What do you do? And I often, you know, feel like, you know, I'm just this little fish in this big old pond. But I also remember that, you know, a fisherman, if you will take any bite, you know what I'm saying? Like, anything that it catches, it'll take, You know what I mean? So it's not like he just looking for the big fish. He'll take the little fish too. And so I'm just mindful of that. Then, you know, I was thinking about, I have from a couple of friends that are going through, you know, major situations in their family. And, you know, just thinking about how, you know, we get older and, you know, life happens. And a part of it is being able to, you know, adapt to the situations that occur in our families and in our lives, and as hard as it may be. And, you know, it's a part of it. And how do we get through those things with our families, you know, that again make us better for having gone through it, and help us to understand that everybody have choices, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're not caring or thinking about you, but, you know, our parents and children and, you know, family members are there, they're their own individual person, and they have to wrestle with their thoughts and their minds and their feelings, their health. They have to wrestle with that. And of course we say, no, you don't have to do it alone, but you have people who are unwilling to share or have their own fright, their own thing that they're going through. And so when it finally shows up, or when they finally tell you and they finally share, you know, the only thing that one can do is to, you know, join in as you can, you know, to help where you can help, you know, to get there where you can get there, you know what I mean, to the best of your ability. And, you know, we pray. I think that, and y'all have heard me say this before, we really discount prayer. We really discount seeking God for our decisions and seeking God to intervene in our situations. And so, you know, I'm just like, it's a part of life that we all are still trying to figure out, even in our ages. I mean, for us to say that we got it all figured out would be a farce. You know, it would not be true. And I haven't even polled everybody, but I know that we have questions. I know that we have some things that have been unanswered. I know we have some things that, again, is very puzzling. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Make it make sense. That don't make sense. Why would you do that? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Why? How? What in the world? What are you thinking? How did you even get there? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did I get here? Like, we have questions. And I think it's okay. You know, I spoke about this before. You know, there's a couple of individuals in the Bible who were very emphatic with God. Like, okay, well, if you are who you say you are, then, you know, show us. If, you know, this is what you want me to do, then tell me. You know what I'm saying? If this is the way I should go, then help me, you know, and I'm not going to go unless you be there. You know what I'm saying? So to say that we're not supposed to question or ask or, you know, be inquisitive or wonder, then I don't think that's legitimately accurate, biblically wise, and just the human nature. I just don't think that's accurate. I mean, even in science, there's the hypothesis, there's the question, there is the, you know, the testing of things. And granted, you know, it's easy. I sit with certain people and I sit and I listen and I hear certain conversations that would give you a blanket answer, you know. And when I grew up in the church, and I would hear them, you know, just trust God, right? Or when they minister and they preach, like, just believe, you know, they will give you a blanket answer. And that's fine, and it's true. But the reality is, for a lot of people,
because life has compartmentalized them, and you know, they've been hurt, or again, they've been lied to, or they've been beguiled, or you know, been bewitched, or just not done seen some stuff. I don't think it's as easy to some people as it is to others. And then not discounting, you know, the illusions and the myths and the conspiracy theories, and just miscounting, you know, not miscounting all of those things. And so just to come to a stand blanket point to say, God, I trust you, and God, I believe you, and God, I'm going to take you at your word, you know, it's not always as clear cut to everybody. And I think that we have to be mindful of that, you know, with myself, with other people, be mindful of it. And what I do know, and I thank God for, is that he knows us. He knows what each one of us needs in order to be able to grab hold to him and to say, you know, unequivocally, you know, undoubtedly, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I take you at your word. And, you know, even in that, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, and the man is asking God to do something, asking Jesus to do something, and he's like, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief. And it's like, yeah, there's a part of me that identifies with a God. There's a part of me that identifies with heaven. There's a part of me that identifies with good. There's a part of me that identifies with mercy and grace and forgiveness. There's a part of me that identifies with holiness and righteousness. There's a part of me that deals with it, but I need help for it to overtake me. I need help for it to embody me. I need help for it to keep me. You understand what I'm saying? To establish me, to move me forward beyond my situation, beyond what has happened, beyond what is going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm just mindful of that. I don't discount the learning process. I don't discount the teaching process or the experience. I can't, because again, it's a part of life. And that is what we are all aiming to figure out, right? So having said that, it brings me to happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. It brings me to that. Because when I look at our world, and I would even bring it to our country, and bring it to the fact that people identify with Jesus. They identify with him, and they acknowledge him. Now, whether or not they are followers, whether or not they put a Jesus fish on a vehicle or wear a cross on their neck or go to the temple, they identify with him. And the fact of the matter is, in my personal opinion, you can't help but to identify with him, especially around this time. It's like Christmas, right? And even in what he attempted, I'm not going to say attempted because it was accomplished. So what it was that he accomplished, was to save us, one, from ourselves, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Save us from hell. And to join us back to the Creator. Now, this is the thing. If one would say that we didn't need saving, then we would discount the fall. We would discount the intervention, if that's the right word, of the enemy, of Satan, and the Garden of Eden. So we would discount creation in and all of itself if we say that we didn't need saving. But nonetheless, we're going to go with we need to be saved, right? We're going to go with that for the sake of conversation. And the beautiful thing is that God never left us alone, because human creation, and there's this book, and it's also on, and I don't know if I mentioned this, it's this book that somebody, a minister actually has said it during one of his sermons, and then I went and I got it. It was hard for me to get this book. I don't know why it was so hard, but whatever. But I finally got it, and it's also on audio, which you're going to probably need to do like the togetherness with the book, but it's called Paradise Lost by John Milton. It's not a plug, but it's just for information purposes. And I just say make the investment, listen to it. And so just discount, so God, the creation of mankind, of humanity, of man in and of itself, was one of God's greatest creations. And again, the conversation can go all around. It could go all around. And so I'm trying to stay focused. It could go all around. Nonetheless, his greatest creation. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Right? And so Jesus comes. He's here. We're so glad about it. And I've said that, I mentioned this before, because again, this conversation could go any direction. Oh, Jesus wasn't born in the wintertime. He wasn't born. We don't need Christmas trees, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Like, it's just so to discount just the element, the purpose of what needed to happen and what happened. Like, we be doing too much. I know I have a tendency to do a lot, but we be doing too much, because the whole point is that we needed a savior. I don't care if Jesus was born on a Friday or a Monday or a Tuesday. I don't care if he was born in the summer, in the winter. I'm just glad that he was born. That's just Kim personally. Thank you. Hallelujah. I don't have his birth certificate. But I'm called to believe, to understand, to recognize, and to accept that Jesus was born. And we had the songs and we had the scripture. And we are to align with that and accept it. I find it interesting that, you know, scholars and scientists and finances and all this other stuff can tell us what it is for us to believe, what it is for us to accept. This is how it works. This is how they choose for it to work. And you need to accept that for what it is, and therefore, if you do, then the result is thereof. I find it interesting how they can take this and finagle this and do this and do this and say, voila, here you go. And you stand there like, what? And yet it's still the simplest thing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has never changed. I don't care where you go. I don't care what country you in. I don't care what Bible you read. Irregardless of how you want to swish it, turn it, whatever, The gospel is going to always be the gospel, which is the good news, the fact that Jesus came. He came. And again, I hold true to that. I'm not aiming to convince nobody, to persuade nobody. But I have to acknowledge that based on the fact that, one, it is Christmas Eve. And two, the fact that that's my personal belief, right? So he came. And then again, he was amazing. And I thought interesting, too, in the story. And I had thought about this the other day. In the story, Herod was the king at the time. And he was told that this king was coming. And he sent out, what do they call it? I can't even think right now what they call it. But anyway, a hit. They put a hit on Jesus when he's a baby. Who does that? Anyway, he put a hit on Jesus. And I thought it was interesting. Because isn't it sometimes, don't you feel like there's a hit on you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, you coming for me? I thought about that, but I thank God, hallelujah, that, you know, God covered him and kept him safe and everything and allowed him to grow up and to be Jesus and to do what he needed to do. And the whole point was he was born to die. We'll get to that later. But he was born. And we say Emmanuel, God with us. And I know there's some things that you just have to look up to, right? You just have to look to the hills from which cometh your help, for all your help coming from the Lord. I'm not going to say that there hasn't been questions, and again, that you won't have questions. And you wrestle with it until you get your resolve and you get your answer. Because I don't think that God would want you or me or anybody to be in a place of ambiguity about who he is. You understand what I mean? I don't think that. I find myself very grateful that the Lord has brought us all the way to this point. Because we start years not knowing. And we wrestle throughout January and February and March and April and May and June, July, August, September, October, November, December. And we find ourselves here, and then we prepare to go as God wills into the new year. The word says that he lets it rain on the just as well as the unjust. Believing, practicing, does not magnify and or limit or decrease, or not practicing, decrease God. And what I do know is that we often wrestle with the concept because of the horrible things that happen, the mean things that happen. I know we do. But as the inception of what I said is, it's a part of life. And I thank God he said that he would never leave us or forsake us. And now that we have God with us, we have his peace that's with us, that helps us to get through situations and circumstances. We're amazed. I'm amazed. I'm at awe. He is a wonder to my soul. And so when I think about Christmas and I think about this time that the whole world stops just for a moment, the fact that you would give a gift, the fact that you would accept a gift, the fact that you would, you know, send a card, the fact that you say happy holidays, the fact that you would decorate, put up a light, turn on a song, have some cocoa, light a fire, whatever it is that you would do in this time and season. Give a hug, give a smile, make a phone call, even look for the star. Is recognizing and acknowledging that you too seek the peace, that you too desire the love, that you too want wholeness, and know that's what is a part, because before the fall we were whole. And so we have that wholeness back. It's just literally, you know, pulling ourselves together, I would want to say. So every year I listen to music and then I'll come up across a song, or I'll come up across an artist singing a song that I like or that is beautiful. And so I came across this song, and I want to share it with you guys for the holidays. Again, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Holidays. And thank you so much for allowing Authentic Conversation with Kim to be a part of your day. Email me when you get a chance. Imagine my face.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Stars are brightly shining.